Welcome to Decadent and Depraved, the Kentucky Horse Racing Podcast. My name's Duncan, as always, joined by my good friends Alex, Jacob, and John Mark. On this episode, we are going to be covering the Graded Stakes Wood Memorial taking place this Saturday out at Aqueduct up in New York. This is a Kentucky Derby prep race worth 100 points, and if you're interested in listening to our coverage of the Bluegrass Stakes, that is a separate podcast, and we also talk a little horse racing news as well. So this is a graded stakes. Like I said, it's for $750,000 on the road to the Kentucky Derby. Mono A, two-turn mile. Jacob, how about you start with the number one Resilience?
Interesting for the number one Resilience that Bill Mott is shipping him up. Raced first time out at Saratoga, but then has been south for the winter. Johnny V gets the board. If he's a long price, he's worth an under, I think, because he seems to slowly be getting better. That Risen Star where he came in fourth wasn't that bad, really. Kind of just got caught up by Sierra Leone and Track Phantom and Catching Freedom, all really good horses in front of him before he came in fourth in the 12-horse field. So a lot I don't love about him, but again, if he's a long price, I'll keep him under.
Two quick things real quick. Number one, this is going to determine my handicapping. Alex, do we have a weather report?
Yes, we do.
Actually, that is a good point.
Because that's the only thing that's holding me back.
Last time at that Risen Star, he did win that mile and an eighth run in the slop. Came in fourth in the slop.
Well, you're going to have to throw that one out the window because it's not going to be a slop on Saturday. It's actually going to be about 45 degrees, cloudy, 10% chance of rain. One thing to do mention, though, is it's going to be raining from here on up till race day. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, expected rain. So although I don't think it's going to be slop, it might be a little mud.
Last thing, who is the most famous winner of said Wood Memorial?
Fuchsia's Pegasus.
Close.
Secretariat
is not the most famous winner. Yeah. He is the most famous loser. He finished third in the Wood Memorial.
Ooh. In 1933. That's right. He did win. He lost one race.
The most famous winner.
Barbaro?
I was going to guess Barbaro.
Wood Memorial is Seattle Slough, who won it in 1976 before winning a Triple Crown. So, very interesting.
1976.
Wow. So, super interesting there. There has not been a Derby winner out of the Wood Memorial since 2000.
Well, let's wrap it up. They're all
solid. That would have been Fuchsia's Pegasus.
It's a quick pod.
That'll do it for this episode.
Lord Miles actually snuck up at, 50-1 and won this last year for Safi Joseph. But kind of hadn't had the best showing. Had some good horses come out of it. Tacitus, Vino Rosso, Frosted, but doesn't seem to have the likes of some of the other 100-point Derby preps.
I love Tacitus. Great horse.
Mm-hmm. Third in the Derby. Best he could do for the out of the Bill Mott barn. Any other thoughts on number one Resilience, Bill Mott?
Toss.
I'll probably lean that way too. Again, 20-1 or up, worth an under for me. The number two, El Grande O for Linda Rice, rather. Dylan Davis, the mount for this horse that likes to stay in New York. Only race there, loves Gotham, clearly. Seems to be a horse that's always hitting the board other than the Champagne Stakes where he went off at 21-1. Chased about 3-4 wide and weakened in the mile, also in the slop. Don't love Linda Rice in general. I think this is a horse that's worth an under.
Definitely worth an under. 11 starts, 10 of them in the money. Yeah, I just can't see this horse not coming under.
I agree with that. And then also the prime power rating on this for the Brisnet is the highest in the race at 139.
We don't have morning line either on this.
Substantially lower. Not going to be your favorite here. Probably second or third favorite, if I had to guess.
Heavily raced. You hate to see that going in the Derby.
And I think that it's...
Linda, don't give a fuck.
I think it's... for me, I would not... You couldn't pay me to put this horse on top, but you also couldn't pay me to not leave this horse. Like, it has to be on your unders for your exotics. Just because... I mean, this horse has proven time and time again. It's going to be in the money. but also has lost to Deterministic and Uncle Heavy, who are both in this race. So I just think that this horse doesn't have the ability to take the next step and actually win against these really good horses in these Derby prep races. But, you know, I do think that you have to leave this horse under and give it a serious consideration. So
100 to show on the number two, El Grande.
Love the bet.
I actually love that. Love Shout it. Out, Red. Do that, Red. Do that.
Love that. All right, down to the number three, Lonesome Boy for Hugo Padilla. Adam Bowman is aboard. Interesting that this horse was claimed by Ernesto Padilla Presadio. Got to assume there's some relation there. Somehow, some way. Regardless, not going to spend a lot of time on this horse. If you're winning races by 6 3/4 at Parks, good for you. But no way this horse competes.
Can I say something really impressive, too? John Mark is handicapping on his iPhone. Like, what is that, an iPhone 9?
Yeah,
And he's not zoomed in at all.
Yeah.
He's just completely zoomed out reading the program.
It's great right eyesight.
That's a guy who's done this on his phone about a gazillion times before. Great eyesight. But yeah, my laptop decided to die on me between races here, so we're just going the phone way. But like I said, 6 3/4 at Parks, that's cool. 94 speed fig, awesome, but don't see any chance here today. It's a toss.
Yeah, and I will say I think the speed figure is really good, but the class is atrocious.
Yeah, that's all I can really put forth. I think, you know, for what, 10 times out, and he's finishing in the money 7 of those times.
And never been a favorite.
But the class is just not there. I just don't see it. He's been performing really well here lately, but I need to see him in a graded stakes race. Totally I guess that's why he's here. But
yeah, I like the Padilla brothers taking a shot here, but probably going to have to keep him out. That'll take us to the number four horse I really like in this race, Deterministic. Joel Rosario aboard the Christopher Clement horse. 90 speed figure, 99 in his second in that pretty impressive Gotham Stakes where he's won both times out. Hadn't been the favorite either. I like to see him stretching out after that layoff. So second Tom off the layoff, I think he's set up pretty good here.
I would agree. This is definitely your morning line favorite.
Probably.
Gotta be. I am really, really impressed with this horse both times out. I see no reason he doesn't romp this field and win by 3 or 4 lengths.
Yeah, and I'm just the only thing really to add. I'm excited to see this horse stretch it out. Go past a mile and an eighth. He won the Gotham by 2 lengths, so I know that he can do it. Also with impressive speed figure that day. But him stretching out, going to be impressive to see, hopefully. So, and that'll take us to the number 5, Protective. Todd Pletcher is the trainer, and Kendrick Carmouche is the jockey. So this horse is still not broken its maiden. Its last time out was just a couple weeks ago at Tampa for a $53,000 maiden. It was the heavy favorite that day and still only finished in third by 2 1/4 lengths. Without having the odds in front of me, I would just assume, even only 5 horses down, probably one of the longer shots in the race, given the speed figure, not that great. And you know, not even bringing its maiden yet. Has added blinkers for today, so maybe has a slight improvement. Wouldn't put this horse anywhere in the money.
I agree. This horse is going to get bet down, though. It's another Rapole horse up in New York. And Pletcher, obviously. He was placed 4th through disqualification last time out at Tampa. So
out of five. As the dead favorite.
Yeah, so don't like to see that.
But he still came in third.
Rapole is trying real hard just to do something with the horse he bought for $250,000 that I think is unfortunately a dud. So, yeah, it's a toss.
Yeah, toss. Tough to go from a 50K maiden up to the likes of some of these other horses. That'll take us to the evening news. Number 6, Jareth Loveberry aboard. Came in first, second, first last few times out, I'll say. Problem is, it was $72,000 allowance race at Turfway, even winning by 8 lengths. You have a tough road ahead, I think.
I would agree. Interesting to see this horse was claimed off of Steve Asmussen. Typically, if Steve Asmussen's got a horse running in a maiden claim in $50,000 race at Turfway Park, that means he doesn't think very highly of the horse. you know, especially considering if he's got anything of talent, he's going to keep that thing in the barn. So don't like it coming off the all-weather, going to the aqueduct dirt. Don't think that's going to bode well for the horse. I don't see much improvement. Like I said, cool that he's won, you know, a couple of these races. Wins by 8.25, really impressively last time out. But that's in an allowance race on the all-weather. Doesn't translate here. I think it's a move on. Maybe play underneath.
Notably did beat Gettysburg Address, who is the number 10. So I do think that's a little bit of a feat. Even in that mile race at Turfway that he did win by 8.25 lengths. But
that's my problem with this horse. His mile is his max he's actually performed at.
I agree.
He did win by 8.5, you know, lengths on top of the second place horse. But I just feel like I haven't seen him go even close to this distance, and it'll be interesting to watch. But
yeah,
and the class isn't there.
The class is not there for sure, and that's why, I mean, just not having the odds in front of me. Really curious, because I could see this going both ways. I could see this horse being like 10-1. Could also see it being like 30-1. You know, just with that impressive of a win. Let's go.
Should be 30-1 at best.
I would hope, but you know, sometimes we're wrong.
I like him improving over time. I will say that.
Agreed. Not the worst horse. Let's go to the 7. Safi Joseph is the trainer. Edwin Gonzalez is going to be the jockey aboard. So this is a horse that at least has raced at this distance before. So just set a mile and an eighth last time out. Did come in second to Conquest Warrior by 5 lengths, despite leading the race almost majority of the time. That was an optional claimer, only $75,000. But, you know, when you're 2-1, you probably shouldn't finish outside second. So he did kind of get the job done. I just don't like losing by 5 lengths and your late pace is only an 85 that day. But to play devil's advocate, this horse has also posted a late pace of 104 and a 7 furlong maiden and 1 by 10 lengths. So I know that this horse can run the distance, but I just don't know why whenever we go the distance, this horse can't get it done. So a little bit of a question mark for me. Don't hate the horse, though, at all.
I don't hate the horse either. I think, I don't know. He seems to fall off at the tail end there. He lost to Conquest Warrior, as you mentioned. At the straight, he was only a length and a half behind, finished 5 lengths behind. I don't know if this horse has the distance. He seems to really like mile 7 furlongs is his only win. I think going this extra or going this distance again, I don't think he's got the class to come in first. Maybe an underneath.
Maybe Safi makes another upset here.
Possible. But I just don't see it with the competition.
We'll take it down to the number 8 here. Elysian Meadows.
Elysian.
Billy Mott, Jose Lascano is aboard. Last time out, ran in the Sam Davis where he did not show anything. Coming in fourth by 6.5 lengths. Nothing really sticks out to me. I mean, you know, win your first two races at Aqueduct. Maybe he likes Aqueduct, but those are at 6 and 6.5 furlongs. Jose Lascano has been hitting at a 23% clip this meet, which is pretty solid up there. 64 wins at Aqueduct. I'd be interesting to see what this horse is on the morning line. Wish we had him. I'm going to guess 6 or 7 to 1 probably. But I'm willing to look elsewhere.
Yeah, I agree with everything y'all said. I just think there's better horses in this. Don't like the trend he's on. So that'll take us to the number 8, Elysian. Number 9, Tuscan Sky, who I do really like out of the Todd Pletcher barn. Really good speed figures, won his last two races. Decent competition. Nash, who has placed in the Gunrunner and LeCompte, so it's a good spot. And then you give him a layoff for Todd Pletcher, Manny Franco back aboard. I think this is in a pretty good spot. I'd love to know his odds. I'm hoping 6-ish to 1. If that's the case, I would really like him. Only because it's a, 12 horse field?
And we also always talk 13. About horses being outclassed. I will say that this one, at least he seems like he's on pace, and this is the logical next step. You win your last two races, you have great speed, you just won a $100,000 optional claimer. You do need to be in a graded stakes now. So I also like this horse as well.
Undefeated. Can't hate him. Love his, as he stretches out, he's posting even higher speed figs. I don't know what's not to like about this horse. Beaten Nash last time out.
Mm-hmm.
He's ran in the mud, ran in the slop. And this will probably be his first fast track. Maybe it's a mud again, but we know he can compete if the weather turns south.
Yeah, I agree. I love this horse. Love the Speed Figs. Very similar to the Brad Cox horse in the Lexington. Or sorry, in the Bluegrass. Ran 297 Speed Figs and is only two times out. Liked the distance. You know, obviously making a big step up in class coming from an optional claimer to a grade two. But Bullet Workout on March 30th. Think the horse is training well. It's been through a farm. Todd Pletcher, Manuel Franco. That's mm-hmm. a recipe for a good race right there. So,
And that'll take us to the number 10 Gettysburg Address. So the trainer used to be Brad Cox. I think we should call that out. It is now Dallas Stewart. So this will be Dallas Stewart's first time training this horse. And Emmanuel Esquivel is the jockey. Adding blinkers today, but, you know, it's tough to see me get Brad Cox give a Triple Crown nominated horse up like Gettysburg Address, who had, whenever we saw Gettysburg Address for the first time at the Iroquois Stakes, had really high hopes, and he scratched. And I remember, so he obviously raced in the street since this is G3, and there was another race early January that he scratched from too that's based on my mind. I just think this horse is not good, and I just think he's all over the place, hasn't won a race since his maiden. It just seems like this horse is just declining and very, very fast. This is sort of a last hope for the ownership group, if you ask me. Try to get out of what they thought they had at the beginning of this season with this horse and go from there. But that's just my opinion.
No, I would totally agree. I'm going to come with the same take I had on the Steve Asmussen horse earlier there. You don't see Brad Cox throwing a horse in an allowance optional claiming race at Turfway Park with a Derby contender. You know, I mean, so there's a reason he let the horse leave the barn. And who knows, maybe actually, sorry, that was just an allowance race. It was not an optional claimer. So what that tells me is actually the ownership group decided to pull it from Brad Cox.
He wasn't even in an optional claimer. He just got claimed.
Yeah, but so in an allowance race, you're not up for claim. So that means right. The trainer just, or sorry, the owner just moved barns.
Right, which is very weird.
That's very telling, which honestly what that means is I'm sure they thought Brad Cox wasn't showing their horse enough attention. And was
probably a little expensive for a horse who's
correct
not really winning that much.
Correct.
I think Brad Cox charged a little bit more.
He's got three other Derby contenders he's worried about, so I get it. But yeah, this is an absolute toss.
Great analysis.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah, Brad Cox was happy to kind of sell high, let him leave his barn for a reason. Mm-hmm. Owners probably thought he had other fish to fry, better horses in his barn to compete with. Gettysburg Address, rather. I think he's about this mile and a half race. So
great name, though.
Yes, I really like the name. That'll take us to the number 11, Society Man, out of Danny Gargan's barn, where he came in eighth in the Withers by 15 lengths before finally breaking his maiden last time out in the mud at Aqueduct. Toss.
Yeah, and just to add, both those races were in the slop, so even if you kind of want to be like, okay, well, he didn't show up for the graded stakes, he won the next time out in the slop. This horse just can't compete with the class. He's a total toss, and probably maybe even the worst horse that we've talked about.
In the non-horse field Withers, I'm surprised this horse, the number 11 Society Man, was just 22-1.
I kind of agree. It almost seems like he should have been like 60-1 or something in a 9-horse field.
Yeah, after being 35-1, 12-1 in the maiden races before that. I would have to almost go back and look to see who else ran in that Withers other than Uncle Heavy and El Grande O. But
half brother to Mage.
Toss this fucker.
Toss. That's such a. I hate that horse.
Yeah,
I'm still mad a year later.
I don't blame you. We'll get a Mage this year. Or get the win anyway. But number 12, Deposition. 4 points on the road to the Derby, so would really have to hit the board here. Clearly likes this spot, I think, after fourth in the Withers and then sixth in the Gotham. By that, I mean it's his best shot to maybe place, but I think it's a toss.
Yeah, I would totally agree. It's awesome. He's been 82-1 and 71-1 the last two times out.
Oh, shit. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, and I mean, he did come in fourth at the Withers, but, you know, that was in a nine-horse field. I think that was kind of an anomaly that day. With it being muddy, sloppy the last two times out, this horse got no business in this race. Is at a Constitution, which is cool, but I'm sorry, Urea St. Louis. I know you're the owner-trainer here, but you got no shot, bub.
No, only win is a $50,000 maiden race at Parks.
I'll give it to Mr. St. Louis. He's been putting this horse in some places, though, just trying to get him there. And, you know, he did place fourth by three lengths in the Withers, which
don't
was
even.
A G3. Owner-trainer, so I respect it. Shoot or shoot. But, yeah, that'll take us to the number 13, Uncle Heavy. Horse that seems to be improving each time out, won three of his four races. Only race he didn't win, kind of got killed, five lengths, or came in fifth, 10 lengths back, the one race he was a favorite in. So kind of a question ball on how that opening break went, because he was never really in it. So if you do draw a line through that, not the worst horse. Coming off the layoff for Robert Reed's barn, I don't know. I mean, I'd keep him in there if he's decent price.
Yeah, I bet he's going to go off about 4 or 5 to 1. Yeah. You know, just with the – I mean, he's probably the third or fourth favorite in the race. You know, the performance in the Withers, I don't know how much credence to give that.
And it also, I will say, it also kind of makes El Grande O look worse.
Correct.
In my opinion, losing to this Parks horse.
Yeah, it definitely is not a good look to lose to the Parks horse. But I will say, you know, it was by a nose. It was in the mud that day. He did close pretty good here. Ran a good late pace, ran a good speed fig. But I want to say he benefited from the mud that day.
Yeah, and I'm also not totally sold on him like Jacob. I'm still a little skeptical. He wins this race, he's got me sold, but I don't think that that's going to happen. All right, I know we went through that real quick, but it is kind of late. So, and honestly, this is kind of an underwhelming race.
It's a very underwhelming field.
I mean, I feel like you're going to get not a very good horse in the Derby from this one, and maybe one, you know, maybe it's an interesting race to actually watch, just so you know. I know I don't want to pick that horse in the Derby.
I would agree.
You got your pick?
No, I'm going to go last.
All right, I'm going to go with what I would consider the safest bet in the race. This is Duncan's safe bet of the week. I'm going to go with the 9, Tuscan Sky. I just really like the Todd Pletcher, Franco Manuel aspect on that horse. I also think the speed figures are overall solid. And this horse, I like to see a horse that's moving up in class, and deservingly so.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like to see Tuscan Sky actually win this race, just because I don't think any of these other horses really belong in the Derby. But if Tuscan Sky makes the jump, I will say he's actually
out of Vino Rosso. I think this horse looks really good too. Honestly, probably would have been my pick on paper, but I'm going to listen to Alex and Jacob before I make my pick. So
I'll go next, and I'll make it easy. I think I'm going to go the number 4, deterministic. Excuse me. I just really like this horse. I think he's going to be probably the horse out there to beat. Also like that my pick on the other pod, spoiler alert, is also the number 4, so it makes it easy for me to remember.
4-4.
You know. No, I think this horse, he's gonna make a showing out there. He's undefeated, great speed figures, averaging at the top for the late pace. He's right in class. I think this is going to be perfect for him.
Jacob. Fire away, brother.
I really don't like any of these horses.
It's a bad feat.
Which is rare. Like, yeah. I'm usually like, I like 5 of the 10, and I'm trying to throw one out.
5 of the 13.
Right.
It's a very bad
feat. And I only kind of see a world or two of these horses win, and that's the number 4 deterministic, like Alex said, and Duncan's pick, the number 9, Tuscan Sun.
Sky.
But, god damn it. You know, I'll take a long shot, a Lord Miles type repeat, and go with a Lonesome Boy, the number 3.
I like it.
Okay.
No, I mean, hey, last time out to run that race at a 94 speed, picking him up at 6 3/4. I'm not going to act like that's not impressive. So
I think the Padilla brothers have something working down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something a little shady. Y'all are going to hate me for my pick, but I can't pick. I truly do think Deterministic or Tuscan Sky.
That's what I'm saying.
Either one win this race, but I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go with the number two, El Grande O. Mm. Your girl Linda's gotten some points here with this horse. Headed into the Kentucky Derby, coming in third in the Gotham and second in the Withers, as well as second in the Jerome. So if this horse finishes on the board, probably, especially coming in second, is going to have enough points to make it to the Derby,
yeah,
which is pretty crazy for a Linda Rice horse to get there. Overly raced for sure, but I do like the 96 speed fig in the Gotham. Losing to Deterministic is, nothing to, shake a stick at, and only to lose by 2.5. Maybe this horse improves.
I think that's a great pick, and I'm glad that that was the one that you chose, because I also kind of get Arctic Arrogance vibes, if you remember that mm-hmm. horse from last year, who mm-hmm. could just never. And this horse is actually miles better than Arctic Arrogance. Well, furlongs better, I guess you could say. But Arctic Arrogance consistently came in second. At least El Grande O can kind of get it done, but just hasn't really cracked the code yet. But maybe Linda Rice can get a Derby contender. I don't know the last time she's had a horse in the Derby. I'm sure it's been several years.
I don't know if she's ever had a Derby.
Yeah, she may never have.
And she does have a very bad graded stakes record. But boy, does she love winning some allowance races and some optional claimers at Aqueduct.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take a shot there with El Grande O. We'll be
not a bad pick. It's her stomping grounds.
So. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the morning line ended up being on all these horses.
Yeah, and Alex has it pulled up. So there is another Derby prep race taking place that we're just going to lightly touch on. Just shoot the shit for maybe
two minutes here.
Santa Anita Derby, 8-horse field. Obviously, a couple Bob Baffert horses that can't get in. Do you guys like anyone in this race?
Yeah, I personally think there's really, really three horses that have a shot.
Okay, because it is for 100 points. So if a Bob Baffert horse doesn't win this race, it's actually big time, and they're probably in the Derby. Well, they are in the Derby if they want to be.
Right. And it is the number 2, 3, and 4.
Okay.
The number 2, Tapalo, out of John Sadler's barn, just keeps getting faster. Only won once, but came in a good showing in second against Endlessly last time out in the El Camino Real Derby. Don't love that because it was at Golden Gate, but still a horse to watch. He would be the longer one. Horse I really like, number 3, Stronghold, Phil D'Amato's barn. Horse that's really, really improving with really good speed figures that can match up against the rest of the horses that we've talked about this weekend. In the 90 speed figures, Sun Derby, Los Al, Bob Hope. So against good competition. And then the other one is a horse that number 4, Imagination, out of Bob Baffert's barn. No, won't have a shot. I don't think it's the best horse in Bob's barn, but I do think it's a horse we'll see come, Preakness Day or down the road anyway. The rest, I just think, don't have a shot, really.
Bunch what about of the maiden. Number 8?
I like
EJ One. You got Mike Smith riding aboard. Doug he comes O'Neil. Out of retirement again.
All right, yeah. No, give it to me.
You with Doug O'Neil. Coming first his last 2 times out, I think, out of Omaha Beach. I don't think it's the worst horse to hate on.
No, I mean, that is fair.
I like this Imagination horse that John Mark just picked a couple weeks ago, because I remember, I think it wasn't Mute that scratched, but there was a Bob Baffert heavy favorite that day that scratched. I can't remember the name of the horse, but Imagination won that race.
Yeah.
He's a little hot right now.
I do like that horse. One horse I do want to point to here, his races don't tell me anything about this horse actually being able to compete, but I do like the number 7 McVeigh mm-hmm. here. If you look, ran a bullet workout on the 29th of March, first out of 129 horses.
Very, very impressive.
Very impressive.
At this horse furlongs is under a minute.
5-1 on the morning line.
Really?
Without winning a race. Wow. In his career. So that tells you the scuttlebutt around the track is pretty high on that 7 McVeigh.
out of Constitution, which is out of Tappet, bought for $1.25 million for the John Sheriff's barn.
They buy horses for incredible amounts out west, man.
They do, and it's interesting too here. I mean, maybe this horse just needed 2-3 races under its belt just to try to get something going. I mean, why else would this horse be 5-1 on the morning line?
Would love a non-Baffert horse to win this race so they can get in the Derby.
That would be nice.
I mean, even if you come in second, I guess you kind of have a chance to be in the Derby too. But it's just like, I just hate that Bob Baffert is even allowed to put horses in these races and just steal money. That's all it is. It's just stealing purse money.
I would agree. If I had to pick the most likely winner of this race, though, it is Imagination, the 4.
I kind of agree. I assume the favorite, right?
8-5 on the morning line. God, yes.
I mean, that's not even fun.
Yeah. It's tough with an 8-horse field when a few of these horses hadn't broke their maiden and stuff. So
I will say the other shocking thing, sorry to cut off, the number 3, Stronghold, is 5-2 on the morning line.
Mm, that was the horse I liked the most, even though coming out of Sunland Park, still think he has bright road ahead anyway.
Yeah, to run second in the Los Al Futurity and the Bob Hope is pretty impressive, but definitely up against stronger competition and coming off a 48-day layoff. That'll be interesting to see how that all goes, but yeah, I think Imagination's the clear favorite.
Yeah, and I think the best thing you can do if you're really a Derby watcher like us is kind of just watch this race, maybe not bet on it, because who knows what can really happen. But I kind of think it's like the, you know, Iowa-LSU women's basketball game. Like, just watch it, like, you know, because it's on. And it can mean something later down the road. Is that a good comparison?
Yes. I love it. Yeah. I saw that the women's are the current Final Four tickets are selling for like a couple $100 more than the men's.
Do you know why, though?
Well, that girl who's diversity. Killer.
No, they're playing in Cleveland, where the Cavaliers play, in that stadium that only holds 19,000 people.
Oh, okay.
Mm. In Phoenix, where they're playing where the Cardinals play, and that is a 100,000 person stadium. Yeah. So
simple economics, supply and demand there.
They're playing outdoor.
They close it though. Okay. The Phoenix actually is indoors.
Yeah.
Did you ever know that? I'll add this. Phoenix, Arizona, they're one of the only NFL teams that actually has grass, and their whole entire field slides out from underneath to the practice stadium field. And they grow it.
That's true.
And then they slide it back in. It's actually really amazing if you ever watch a video on it. But yeah. I mean, Caitlin Clark, Hooper.
No, she's a beast.
That, dude, I've never seen anything like that. I watch that game.
She's like a dog, though, too. Like, I like how she's just like talking shit up and down the floor, like hitting a 3 in Haley Vanless' eye.
Oh, she's pulling up from 40 feet.
Yeah, I think it was a good sportsmanship game. Like, all the hype leading into it and everything.
Yeah, like both teams were helping each other up, and you know, it was all friendly shit talk. It wasn't like disrespectful.
Caitlin Clark's not like rude. She's just fun. She's just a competitor. Like, that's really. She's Larry Bird.
A lot of terrible NBA of relations today, but yeah, that should.